أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله yet again we have been given the tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come into his beautiful and sacred home to praise him and glorify him to strengthen our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also strengthen our bonds with our brothers and sisters in salah. Alhamdulillah, we began our journey on the 1st of Ramadan. Ji? To see, aage aage aajana phir, please. No, because phir woh piche Quran Pak pad rahe na, then we can't. Obviously, it's not fair for them. But to see na, aage aage aajo, please, you know. Sorry. I don't want to shout too much either because it's not appropriate. Phir bhi awaaz piche jaayegi. So, Jazakallah. So, Alhamdulillah, we began our journey on the 1st of Ramadan in an attempt to understand our salah, the purpose of salah, the virtues and the beauties of salah, the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within the salah, and to understand the great gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. And we realize the importance of intentions, how to purify our intentions, how to maximize our intentions by not just doing it because it is a command, but doing it for the love and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing it so we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can follow in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then we also understood the importance of purification and cleanliness. The purification is not just of the body, but also of the mind and the heart and also of the soul. And the wudu is the key to salah, and the key to Jannah is salah. So obviously these two keys are very, very important, and to get the teeth right of those keys in order for us to actually put it into the lock to unlock the gardens of paradise is absolutely essential. Then we also understood the importance of sharing our feelings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is exceptionally difficult for men to open up and share their feelings, but nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to become vulnerable, wants us to be honest and to share our feelings with Allah azza wa jal. And for also to know that there is hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in spite of our sins and in spite of who we are and the things that we do, nevertheless, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than the things that we do. And then we understood, discussed haya, the importance of modesty, and not just in clothing, but the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we present ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Modesty in the way that we behave, how we communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we discussed haiba, which is an important feeling to have in salah, which is not just fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that fear which is coupled with respect, and that fear which is coupled with acknowledgement and recognition and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, alhamdulillah, yesterday we began our next step, which is the falling in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fall in love with so many things of the world. We potentially have fallen in love with our wife, and I hope so. We fall in love with our children. We fall in love with so many things, but the most important thing that we forget is to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the most important love that will enable us to succeed in the dunya and also most importantly in the hereafter. We all love to be with those people, to spend time with them, and we have a smile on our face, and time goes by so fast when we are with those people that we love. But why is it that we are not in the same kind of feeling when we are communicating and talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the reason for that is because we're not actually in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just praying for the sake of praying. So this is an important feeling and emotion to have, which will make our salah more meaningful, which will develop our khushu in our salah and bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also yesterday very briefly started the physical aspects of salah as well. And the first thing that we discussed was saf, to have straight rows. And the Prophet ﷺ highly stressed this and every single salah to straighten your rows, to stand shoulder to shoulder, to make sure there is no gap, because we do not want to have any distinction between the person on our right or our left. We are all equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to stand united before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed the Prophet ﷺ that on the day of Qiyamah there'll be 120 safs, rows, but from 120 of those, 80 of those will just be from the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we learn that having rows is part and parcel of our human nature, from going to school, standing in line, standing in assembly, wherever we go, and especially the British way of standing in rows is very, very normal for us. And especially when we come to our masjid, standing firmly united in a straight line is also equally important. Even the angels, as I mentioned yesterday, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَقَالَ سَوَابًا. That even on the day of Qiyamah, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and all of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not just be scattered here and there, they'll all be standing in rows, complete and straight rows. So this is why it's so important for us to always maintain our rows and to establish that unity among ourselves. So before we go into the aspect of love, which we'll be discussing today, as I promised, that we will every day do a little bit of the practical elements of salah. So yesterday we started with standing in a straight manner and making sure that our rows are complete and making sure we are aligned and making sure that our shoulders are touching the other person. We might think, oh, we need our personal space, but in salah there is no personal space. You stand united with all of those people that are on your right and your left. And a simple example is those people who have gone on Umrah, those people who have gone on Hajj, there's no such thing as personal space. You know what it feels like. But this also brings you closer to your brothers and sisters as well. But the importance of standing very closely together, but at the same time comfortably as well together. So standing straight, as I mentioned yesterday, standing shoulder to shoulder and making sure that your entire body itself is straight. And we talked about how our feet and our heels should be straight. They shouldn't be like penguins or any other direction. The heel, the direction of our heel and our toes all should be pointing towards the Kaaba, towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our entirety should be facing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we raise our hands, we are surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are pushing away the dunya and we're saying, oh Allah, here I am. And the way that was taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was that his palms would face the Qibla, would face the direction of Makkah, and the fingers would be pointing towards the heavens, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's heavens. And how the thumbs would be level, parallel with the earlobes, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam would touch his earlobes as well. So again, making sure that our hands are not far apart, but in parallel, with your shoulder blades, with your shoulder, just like your feet should be in terms of the distance between our feet, as I mentioned yesterday, is that they should be in line with your shoulders as well. So we're not spreading them far apart, and we're not pushing them really, really close together. We're making sure that they are parallel with our shoulders, and that is how we should stand. And the perfect example of our prayer mat is that if you see the two pillars here on the prayer mat, between the two pillars is where your feet should be. On one side of the pillar is your right foot, the other side of the pillar is your left foot. In the middle is you have that ornate design. This has already been set up for you, so we have no real excuse or reason not to have our feet in the correct position, all aligned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly with our hands, fingers pointing up, hands facing the Qibla, thumbs touching our earlobes, and we say, here I am, and you are surrendering and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Equally at the same time, having a hat, which is because we discuss modesty, the importance of haya, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not here to show off our clothes, we're not here to show off our hairstyles or our gels and various other things. We're here to humbly stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was always to wear the hat, especially in our salah. So the hat as well is also very important. The hat shouldn't just be, on there for the sake of wearing a hat. Its purpose is to cover your hair, for you to stand humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your forehead must always be exposed. And I always have this issue with my students that they have their hats on, but like that, you can just about maybe see their eyebrows. Because this is an important part of having your hat on, that when you go into sajda, your nose and your forehead both have to be touching the ground in order for your sajda to be complete and for it to be valid. So therefore, when you do put your hats on, make sure your hair is tucked underneath your hat and not just coming out. Tika? And you know, we don't need any styles coming out. Hair should be tucked in neatly, and then the hat should be sufficiently back where the forehead is exposed, so that when you do go into sajda, your nose and your forehead both are touching the ground in order for that to be valid. So always keep that in mind when you are wearing your hats. The other thing is, when you're standing, many people unfortunately make this mistake, is that they stand but they do not stand equally. They do not distribute their entire weight equally on both legs. You will see them slightly leaning to one side or slightly leaning to the other side. And sometimes people are doing some like matrix moves in their salah as well. So almost like dodging things. So you have to remember that you're standing firm and strong, but you're also standing humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there should be no bend in your legs whatsoever. You stand straight, your knees should be straight, and you should not be leaning to the right or to the left, or there should not be any bend in one knee and you are resting on the other leg in that particular way. So equally your weight should be distributed and you should be standing straight humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do stand, there should be a small lean forward as well. As I mentioned yesterday, that we don't stand chhati phaad ke, you know, we're not there to show off our pecs and, you know, our chest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are nothing, we are insignificant before Allah azza wa jal. We need to be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore your chest should not be out, but rather you should be more humble and leaning forward rather than leaning backwards and pointing out. And for that, I'd like to give a very, very simple example. As you can see here on this sheet, here there are two things. One is an alif, and on the other side is just the the letter I in English, or you could call it the number, you know, number one, for example. And you can see here between both of these, there's a very distinct difference between them. This is absolutely straight, and we're not going to show akr in our salah by being absolutely straight. If you look at the alif, this is symbolic of who we are as insan. And this is insan who is leaning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can see alif, there's a very, very slight bend in the alif. This is how we should be slightly bending, leaning forward towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how you should try to remember that, yes, we are standing straight, but we are also leaning forward towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not being too, arrogant and too, obviously, in that particular way. So always try to remember that as well. So your earlobes, and then once you have raised your hands, and remember they should be parallel with your earlobes, not all the way over there, but obviously closer, because they're in line with your shoulders and in line here. And when you're saying Allahu Akbar, and then remember we are doing this salah according to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him. So according to Imam Abu Hanifa, when we fold our hands, it is below the belly button. Okay, and other fiqhs and mazahibs, they have their obviously evidences, and they obviously, some will have their hands on their chest, some will have the Malikis, especially they will have their hands on their side, just drop to their side, which is perfectly permissible because it is mentioned through various ahadith. But for the Hanafis, this is how the Prophet ﷺ prayed his salah towards the latter part of his life. Towards the end of his lifetime, this is how he was formally praying all of his salahs. So we fold our hands just below our belly button, not on our tummy, but just below our belly button. So the left hand, you should always remember, goes just below your belly button, and that should be nice and flat. And then the right hand always goes on top. Some people obviously hold their hands over here, some people even here, but according to our mazhab, we remember that our left hand goes just below your belly button, your right hand goes on top of your left hand. So your small finger, which is the pinky finger, and your thumb, they go around your wrist. Then your three fingers then go here, just over your forearm. This is how you should be, just here below your belly button. As you can see here, as demonstrated, your finger and your thumb, they don't have to go all the way around, especially if you've got thick wrists. But the point is, this is how they should be, and your fingers should be placed there on top of your forearm. And this is how you should be firmly standing there in that particular first most important position of Qiyam when you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, al-Aziz, I want you to practice this again, what we repeated today in terms of standing, making sure your feet are parallel with your shoulders and the heels and the feet are all straight pointing towards Qibla, and your hands when you do the takbir tahreema, you are there parallel with your ears and you're touching your earlobes and your palms should be facing. We're not doing this, okay? We're facing and we're surrendering and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then your hands, as mentioned, left hand just below your belly button, right hand on top, two fingers around and three fingers on top. This is according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah we'll continue with the next element tomorrow of the thana, the Fatiha, the Surah, and then we'll go into the Ruku and the important position of Ruku and what degree we should be at for all of those people who are able and fit to do so, inshallah. So coming back to the love element of our Salah, as I mentioned yesterday, Allah gives various examples in the Quran that He loves the Mutatahireen, He loves the Tawabeen, He loves those who constantly turn to Him, He loves those people who constantly purify themselves, those people who have complete yaqeen and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So love is that seed which only grows, but it can only grow when you nurture it, when you feed it, when you take care of it. And this is a relationship that we have to nurture with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to really spend quality time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that we feel like, I don't want to stop talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've heard the various examples of the Sahaba ikram and their kayfiyya, how they used to feel when they used to be in a state of salah, and how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to be in a state of salah, constantly wanting to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have this feeling perhaps with your spouse or with your children or with other things in the dunya. You just want to spend more and more time with the things that you love. But the greatest love that we should show is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So essentially we need to fall in love with our Creator, fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it gives you that great feeling, that feeling of belonging, the feeling of warmth, the feeling of protection, the feeling of guidance, the feeling that everything will be okay. And you have this feeling with certain people that no matter what difficulties you may be facing in your lifetime, you know when you are with them, then all of dunya's parishanis kind of just melt away and nothing else really, really matters. So when you come to your salah, this is an opportunity for you to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go deeper and deeper in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us that man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu, that whosoever loves, again this word is used here, very important for us to reflect on this, that whosoever loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed Allah azza wa jal also loves to meet that individual. So ask yourself, how eagerly do we come to our salah because we are yearning, because we have that great love and that burning desire to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is that true love. If you truly love to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be with you. When we have our normal conversations with people and you don't like them, I'm not talking about love. Love is obviously something far greater. You don't even like them, then you don't even really look at them when you talk to them, and you just want to say, jaldi karo, finish this conversation, I've got other things to do. And unfortunately, when we come to our prayers, sometimes this is the feeling that we come with, that we don't actually love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, na'uzubillah min zalik, we don't even have the feeling of liking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we just want to read our salah and just get out. Because why? We love the dunya more. We love the things that we have left behind more than we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he gives us a very, very stark reminder that قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالُكُمْ نِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That if you say that you love your father and your son and your mother and your brother and your wives and your relatives, and you love your wealth more which you have obtained and your commerce and your business and your finance and all of these things that you love more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then just wait. then just wait and sit until you see the reality. Wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala executes His command, and then you'll realize what true love should have been, where you should have actually spent your time and your devotion, which should have been with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the everlasting, the ever living, the one who is always there to nurture you, to protect you, to guide you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, which is unpolluted, undiluted, that is the true love that you should all yearn for, not the love that you have for all of these things. Why? Because you will have it today, tomorrow. Your same, perhaps, parents or children and business and all of these things, they will discard you and throw you away and say, wait a minute, what have you ever done for us? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never say that. Because you spend a time, a moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincerity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive all of your sins, all of your transgressions, all of your mistakes. Aw to say, gal karo to say, as they say in our language, come and sit down with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Share and express your love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that you stand, in the way that you behave, in the way that you say those words so nicely. You know, when you love somebody, you think about every single word you're about to say to them. How are you going to say it to them? The pitch, the tone, the style, you know, how loud it's going to be, how soft it's going to be. Because you want to say it just right, because you love them so much. Ask yourselves, when you are praying your Fatiha, your Surah, and all of the other tasbihat, is there love in all of those words? In all of the things that you are saying? Or are you just saying it just to get through the dialogue, just to get through the script, so that you can get out and actually love something else? Love the dunya, or love the things that you have left behind? These are questions that we really need to ask for. So, love is an absolutely crucial element of salah. If you want to taste the sweetness of salah, if you want to develop khushu in your salah, if you want your salah to become more meaningful, then you have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just do things because they are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do things because they are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A robot can do that. You can do some coding and stuff, and it will follow all of those exact parameters and rules. Do this, don't do this. Have a zero here, one here, and it will follow it. But those commands don't have any soul, don't have any ruh, don't have any feeling behind all of those things. When you don't want to do something and your parents force you to do it, or your teacher forces you to do it, you will do it out of fear, but you're not doing it because you love your parent or you love that particular action. So come to your salah not just out of fear, not just because it is a command given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you love Allah Azza wa Jal, you do whatever He wants you to do. Because this is a different degree, this is a different type of connection that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, he also taught us a dua which is narrated by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He mentions that, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk. That, oh Allah, I ask you for your love. And this is the time for you in your salah to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's nothing greater than asking for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because with love, you get everything else. You'll get the protection, you'll get the compassion, you'll get the forgiveness, you'll get the mercy. A mother, when she loves her child, then even though that child may do so many things, the mother will still be merciful and kind and compassionate and forgiving because of her overarching love of that child. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for love. This is what Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam would ask for. This is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would ask for. Oh Allah, I ask for your love. Don't substitute the love of Allah, the love of the deen, the love of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salam for the love of the dunya. The dunya will always do bi-wafai with you. Your own will always do bi-wafai with you. But Allah azza wa jal, His deen and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will never do bi-wafai with you. Remember that. Remember that. So Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak, I ask for your love, O my Lord. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk, and also for the love of those people that also love you. This means to be with the saliheen, with the ulama, with those people who are righteous and honorable, those who are true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who encourage you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa al-amal alladhi yuballighuna hubbuk, and also enable me to do those actions that bring me closer to you and to your love. Salah is a means to bring you closer to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shahada, zakah, sawm, hajj, good akhlaq, all of these are means to bring you closer to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ja'al hubbak ahabba ilayya min nafsi. Oh Allah, make this love that I have for you more, far greater than I have the love for myself. Because we love ourselves ultimately more than anybody else in creation, even more than our parents and our children, because this is insani fitrat. But here is a dua that, oh Allah, enable me to love you more than I love myself. Wa ahli wa min al-ma'i barid. And also, your love should be far greater than my own family, and should be far greater than cold water. You know, remember, these people lived in the desert area. So for them, cold water was a, you know, very, very rare thing. So even far greater than cold water, my love should be so, you know, strong for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you approach your salah, you need to have these strong emotional feelings, this yearning and desire to be with Allah Azza wa Jal, to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will realize that salah, whether it takes 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour, all of that time will feel like just a moment has passed. Why? Because you've been so engrossed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't just make your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limited or confined to following orders and leaving prohibitions. Do it more than just fear. Do it out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if you do not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal mentions in the Quran, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace you with another qawm that loves him more than you ever could love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't just become a replacement. Be those people who are worthy of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you meet those people that you love, then something happens to your heart. Something happens even physically to your body as well. The way that you feel, the palpitations that you have, you know, how all of these emotions come, do they not, with the people that you are with, whether it is a scholar, whether it is a parent or a child or somebody else, somebody dear and near to you. You have these feelings when you're with those people that you love. This is the warmth that you have. So what about the warmth and the feeling and the palpitations that we should exhibit when we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We've learned in various other durus how the Sahaba ikram, their color would change. Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem's, his face would change. How Imam Hassan's face, his color would change. How their behavior and their conduct would change when they were new, they were about to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as you know, in our society, we come, we go, we're going to do it, we bang it out, and we go out, and we're like, whoa, what happened? We don't know what happened. We just, you know, just did what we needed to do. We're like robots. Why? Because there's no element of love in that particular act of worship. So when you love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves to meet you as well. There should be a feeling of longing to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you start your prayer, when you surrender yourself. There should be this warmth within your heart to know that you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now you can share your feelings, your huzn, your sorrow, your worries, all of the things that you have in your heart. You can share this with your beloved, with none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know that you will get something back in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would also constantly do this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka shawka ila liqa'ik, that, oh Allah, I ask you for the longing to meet you, this desire to always meet you. And do we have this dua ever in our mind that we're going to meet Allah? We just think, are we going to pray and get our prayer out of the way? But no, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, inni as'aluka ash-shawq. Do you know, we understand shawq in our language. This longing, this yearning, this desire to do something, ila liqa'ik, to go and meet you, to be with you, to spend time with you. And salah is that means to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An abd, a servant and slave, can never be more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than he is in a state of salah, than he is in a state of submission. So having that love and nurturing that love from a young age is very, very important in our children. The reason why we don't have any love is because we didn't learn the real way of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why our children don't have that connection is because from a young age, we don't tell them to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just say, just do this. Why? Because you have to pray. But there's so many other things, as we've learned so far, this shawq, this desire, this yearning, this sharing of feelings, this khashiya, this haiba, all of these things are part and parcel of our salah. And if we don't nurture these things within ourselves or our children, then salah will continue to just be mechanical for us and for all of those things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things beautiful for us, and we love certain things. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ يُحُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاتِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الزَّهَبِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautified for us, and we love love wives, we love children, we love wealth, we love all of these things, but we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than all of these things. Our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should supersede all of these things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and reminds us in the Quran that if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will truly follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And if you see in the life of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, all he ever showed was his love to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't care about the love of the dunya, the pleasures of the dunya. He just wanted to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore there's nothing in terms of experience that can be compared to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your love needs to be intense. Your love needs to be sincere. Your love needs to be sweet. That desire that needs to be there. And when you have and you develop this in your salah, then you realize how beautiful your salah is transformed and how beautiful it becomes because of that love that you have for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam also gives us another hadith, which is an important one I want to share with, that if there are three things that are combined in an individual, then your iman will be complete and your salah will also be complete. So the sweetness of prayer and the sweetness of iman will be complete when you have three things in yourself. And first is the beauty that we have for Allah, the beauty that we recognize in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the beauty that we need to see in our salah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful gift. We need to understand and appreciate the beautiful gift given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you fall in love in the dunya as well for one of three reasons. And one of the first reasons that you fall in love with somebody, not saying love at first sight, because generally that's just attraction or infatuation with that person. No, generally people fall in love with another person, true love, out of their beauty. And this is why the Sahaba Ikram would fall in love with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, due to his beauty that they saw on his face, that they saw the nur coming from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's face, through his character, through his behavior, through his demeanor, due to his external beauty. And the Sahaba Ikram mentioned that it was as if the sun was shining from his face. This is how they would describe the beauty of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was more handsome and more beautiful and radiant than the full moon. This is how they describe the beauty of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We've heard about the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, but try to imagine the beauty and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can get a sense of that beauty and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your salah. But when you first and foremost fall in love with the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we as insan, we look around in the dunya and we see the creation. For those people who love to travel, I love to travel. All of us here, majority, alhamdulillah, have traveled. If you've traveled to Asia, if you travel to Africa, if you travel to different countries throughout the world, you see the mountains, you see the streams, you see the lakes, you see the beauty in all of the creation, and you're so literally, you know, so literally say, subhanallah, you are gobsmacked, you are amazed at all of the beauty that you are surrounded by, in the colors, in the palettes, in the seasons, in the flowers, in the animals, in the wildlife, in humanity, in all of the world. Everything that we see around us is beauty. And this is just merely a reflection of the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you can fall in love with the beauty of the dunya, you can fall in love with the beauty of insan, then how is it not possible that we can't fall in love with the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inna Allaha jameel wa yuhibbul jamal. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most jameel. He's the most beautiful, and He loves beauty as well. He wants beauty from us in our salah. He wants love from us in our salah. So if fall in love with the Creator, and you can see how His beauty must be if you look at the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Remember the kissa of Musa alayhi salam. He wanted to see the beauty and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah said, you can't take this. Nothing in creation can take the beauty, the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mountain is a mere reflection of the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, became completely dust. It became into dust, and it was completely destroyed and annihilated when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as minute tajalli of His beauty unto the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a bashara, gives a glad tidings to those people that on the day of Qiyamah, wujuhun yawma idhin nazira, ila rabbiha nazira. That on that day, the true believers, the believers who understood the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who searched for the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had love for the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day, they will be radiant and they will see the majestic beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be looking at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we fall in love with other things due to its external features, due to its beauty. We can also fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is Allah azza wa jal who is the one who has made everything beautiful, and therefore we need to think about the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, direct your face towards me, towards my beauty, towards my majesty, and you will see a difference in your heart, you will see a difference in your prayer. So imagine this when you are praying your salah. All of the other things that we've discussed as well, of the khushu, the fear, the awe, the haiba, and the love, and the, you know, the attraction, and the yearning to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also have this kayfiyya in your heart as well, in your mind. Search for the beauty and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begin to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll see your salah slowly but surely being transformed, inshallah. So thank you very much for attending once again. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow with other elements of developing khushu in our salah and also in our ibadah. Wa qouli qouli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Jazakumullahu khairan.